Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks for listening to Sports Sunday On Demand, a Service Patriots podcast on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Service Patriots is your home comfort solution for all of your heating and air conditioning needs. Check out the latest special offers for our listeners at servicepatriots.com/the fan.
It's time for Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe.
Second and seven. Irving breaks it back. Brick roll. Bounces outside. He's got a burst. Bucky Irving down the sideline.
Brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company.
Ben takes the shotgun snap. Will Branson throws down the right sideline. An over-the-shoulder catch by Harrison. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Beavers!
Explore the flavors of Oregon at Grillworks Supply Company in Beaverton or at grillworkspdx.com.
Football's so fun. This is our dog. That's crazy. It's so fun.
Now, here are your Football Sunday hosts, Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher, on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
You're about to get it right there.
You're about to get this.
No, don't say that. I'm not scared of you.
Welcome in to Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app. And I don't know how else you would listen to us live, but welcome in. It's weird. I don't know what to do with my hands right now.
Yeah, there should be a YouTube coming soon, right?
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I just feel weird because no show last week, no hot corner for me this week. It's been a solid week and a half since I cracked the mic. So
yeah, and it sucks no show last week because you know there was a hurt,
no
there was a loss around the Pac-12.
No, I'm good with no show last week. I was not,
bro.
Was not in the right. Quite frankly, I'm still not in the right mind state to do a show. Damn it. Even after a win. Listen, seasonal depression's kicking in, all right? The grays are coming in. And it's not even November for
God's
sake.
You're just looking for W's at this point in the year.
Like,
doesn't really matter where they come from, especially once this weather turns.
W's in anywhere, not even just on the field.
No, seriously, like, man, you know, my car started this morning. Yes, gosh, let's get there. Gas is 15 cents cheaper than it was yesterday. Man, I will take the W. You know, I went to Winco, which I don't really do as often, looked at some chicken.
Oh, Winco is my, if I want to just stock up everything.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Go drop $300-$400 over at Winco.
I literally have a Fred Meyer across the street from my house. And Fred Meyer is solid-ish as far as, you know, shopping it at, you know, large grocery stores.
I love Fred Meyer.
As far as prices. The original Walmart, if we're being real, Fred Meyer is.
It's our Walmart.
Yeah, okay. Seriously. Like, before, you know, Walmart really popped up and everything, there's only one place I remember you can go in Portland, and we're in the Northwest, to get groceries.
They still watching your kids?
Clothes. There was
there's still daycare in there, the middle of Fred Meyer's.
The one that I grew up with had a McDonald's inside.
I don't think they do that anymore.
A place that you can get like gardening supplies and sports equipment.
Well, yeah, the Fred Meyer's used to have like two or three school different clothes. Buildings. You remember like the Fred Meyer Hardware used to be separate from the Fred Meyer. That was a great time.
Because that one was always less crowded than the actual Fred Meyer store, but it was a one-stop shop. You can go get school clothes there and school shoes. Cool. I got some Kevin Johnson Reacts one time, some Converse from
they
from
used
Fred
to sell
Meyer.
Nikes. At
yeah, they used to sell dope Nikes.
They still got some Nikes there.
No,
every now and then.
No,
not now. They don't mess with Nike anymore.
Ended that no? on a few
yeah,
years ago,
they don't mess with Nike anymore.
They don't have those weird looking models that you don't see anywhere else but at Fred Meyer's. Man. I remember that as a kid, like going out. I was like, I've never seen these.
No,
ones.
Man, they would have a couple of those.
These are the Freddy
exclusives.
They
would have some legit shoes at Fred Meyer and. Also,
it's a
like
exclusive, just not Nike.
I mean, this is going to date me a bit, but Meyer and Frank, used to have the girl. Like, if you couldn't find a certain pair of shoes at like Foot Locker or something like that, Meyer and Frank, there's a good chance them or Nordstrom would have them. I got my Jordan 11s from Nordstrom, and nobody saw it coming. And so
I do love Nordstrom's athletic choice. They have a lot of apparel. I mean, you got a Nordy card, which my wife and I do. It's full of too many like
sports
big money. Jersey purchases.
Yeah,
and
y'all got
things
big
like
money.
That.
Here's the great thing about Meyer and Frank. They used to just let you return stuff. No receipt. No tags.
Wow.
I swear to God.
Really?
Man,
what a business model.
No, seriously, that's probably why they're no longer around. You know,
what do you mean they just let you return stuff? Everybody kind of lets you do that,
you know,
right?
Meyer and Frank did not. Could take something and wear it.
Oh, they did not let you return
it. Excuse me, Nordstrom did not. Like, so you could take something and wear it, bring it back a couple days, a few days later, no receipt, no everything, and return it.
Wow. Yeah. Costco's return policy is pretty liberal, even now. Like, I've heard stories, people brought in, like, a used Christmas tree with all the pine needles falling off. Costco still took it back. Unbelievable.
I don't get it.
If we're going to go down this nostalgia road here. Good old G.I. Joe's.
Oh, my God. Ooh. I love G.I. Joe. So I lived in an area to where G.I. Joe was.
It was always a fun trip.
Just down the street from, like, maybe 7 minutes away from my house.
I did miss the
I love G.I. Joe's. I hate going to Dick's Sporting Goods now. It just sounds weird to say it. Hey, I got to go get some shoes. Hey, you want to go to Dick's with me? No, it sounds weird.
Like, where? What?
Yeah.
I thought you were just getting shoes.
Yeah.
what about Kmart, huh? I mean, that was more of a national chain.
Blue Light but, Special.
Right? Kmart with the little C's in the middle.
Little Caesar, you can get icy there. It's really sad for me to drive down, like, you know, Sandy Boulevard and look over and see that there's nothing there in the space that Kmart used to be. Like, seriously, Kmart had the layaway stuff to where, you know, if you were like me and you grew up kind of without a lot of money, like, that layaway was great. I had a Nintendo on there for a little bit, a Sega Genesis, just go make small payments until it's all paid off. It's a great, great system.
Oh, boy.
The whole Jansen Beach, actually, was the other mall in Portland.
Mall 205, I feel like, is still just like a myth to me. I don't venture over that part of Blue Portland region.
I've got to be desperate.
I feel like I hear of Mall 205, but I've never been. I feel like it's just not even a real place. It's just a legend.
It's like three blocks away from a lot of strip clubs, too. So it's not usually where you would...
One-stop shop.
I mean, seriously. You get an outfit and then straight to go to Cheesecake Factory, and then, like, Mall 205 is one of those places, like... I have to be looking for a very specific item of clothing and don't have time to buy it online. They don't have it at the Lloyd Center because they have nothing at the Lloyd Center.
Oh, okay.
They don't have it at Vancouver Mall, which is actually a pretty cool mall. It's the one mall around that kind of still resembles a
There's
mall.
There's a Vancouver Mall?
The Vancouver Mall, absolutely.
As someone that's actually been to Mall 205 in the last 18 months, there is nothing left.
There's nothing.
No, you don't have... There's a Target attached to it and... Like a nail place. It's not any. And then another scam, you know, that's going to close in 6 months, I'm sure. Like, it's not the place to go for
Washington anybody. Square is the other one.
Like, that's still.
They're building all around that place. They're going to throw in a Tesla across the freeway from there. They're going to throw in a BMW dealership.
More reasons I shouldn't be shopping over there. I'm not shopping there.
Oh, man, there's a whole... Oh, and then go over to what is it, Thirsty Lion?
Washington Square has still a little bit of everything. Still kind of resembles
great wait staff a mall. At Thirsty Lion.
Yeah. No, Thirsty Lion's always got good service.
Yes, very good service. Wait staff,
happy hours. Although happy hours are disappearing. Nice. Not just
did
not
I say, nice did I say something about the wait staff already.
Yeah. Super professional.
Joe likes the wait staff. Apparently,
listen, they know what they're doing. Okay,
now.
Thirsty Lion knows exactly what they're doing. It's very convenient.
It's very Hooters-ish.
Not sure Joe
I'm
saying in the sense that they know what they're doing. There's a method to the madness.
It is very I find it odd that every Thirsty Lion I've been to, whether it was the now defunct downtown location or the Washington Square one, that it's all hot. Working essentially at least sixes essentially that are being that are bartenders.
What are we saying are hot now? Sixes are hot now.
Yeah,
there's some solid sixes out there. I'm sure. I mean, you get below a six, then
sixes.
Rashad, I think your scale of 1 to 10, man. Tens are models, bro. Tens are like.
Yeah, 10 is what you and I cannot get to a 10.
Margot Robbie, like
you
those.
Just,
the world.
Rashad, come on.
But, sorry, buddy. Love you.
Six though.
I'm telling you about it.
I'm a solid 5, okay? Like, that's what I would have to... I'm a 5 on a good day.
If you're a 5, I
maybe
mean,
a 6. Like, if I could get to a 6 in a suit, that'd be
dude,
great.
I was going to give myself a 5.
No, I'd say you're a 6,
dear
Joe.
God.
I'd say you and Rashad are probably both 6s, maybe 7s on a good day. I would go 5 to 6.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be real with myself here.
I think Rashad, you're giving yourself way too much credit.
I didn't say anything.
If our scale of 10 is unobtainable, like celebrity, Rihanna,
like 8 is LA transplant hot,
like
basically,
don't try.
Yeah.
Don't embarrass yourself.
I don't know. You're saying 6.
A nine is the one you're like, man, that was the best one. I can't do better than that. Like, that is the peak of the mountain you've ever gotten to. And then the 8s are usually the ones that are the ones you keep around because you're like, yeah, this is about as good as I can keep, not so much for like a week or so.
I would say aim higher. Number one, I don't think you guys are giving yourself enough credit. Like, number one, we're shooting low. We're saying 5. That's middle of the gamut.
That's average
absolutely
because
regular.
Most people are average.
Listen, that's I know me. I know my life story and what I have accomplished in my lifetime. There have been some good times and there have been some not so great times, right? As far as what you got to do out there. You know, sometimes you just got to go for the 6. Sometimes you got to go for the 10. And usually the 6 is not, you know, it's not your first choice, but you got to do it sometimes. All right.
And that's what I'm saying. If you feel like the 6 isn't the first choice, and now we're saying that the 6 is hot at the as the bartender ish. Like, I understand there are things that go into it that can make you that
I
6.
Can work with a 6.
A 7. You know what I'm saying? A 6 and a half.
I don't know. If I came 7. If I came into a room full of hots and said I thought I was a 7, I'd be laughed out of the room.
I can work with a 6. At minimum a 6. That's what I'm saying. And that's what I think that Thirsty Lion is doing.
You guys are better humans than me.
Thirsty Lion is doing at least 6s. That's their bare minimum, is what I'm saying. Do they have like an AI, like algorithm that they like scan faces in the back room when they're interviewing? Like, all right, cool. You've nailed it.
No, Joe, it's all names. No, there's only certain names that get through the process.
You've killed the interview process. Now, if you'll go to the Thirsty Lion 3000 AI image generator here, we're going to see if you fall under the... qualifications here. Nope, sorry. I bet that.
No, there's no girls named like Betty or Darla. It's always like Kelsey or Misty.
The last woman you've met named Betty or Darla? And I'm sure they're 90.
I was going to say Betty or Darla in general, right?
I'm sure they're 90.
In society.
I'm trying to think right now. When's the last, like, I know a Betsy, but I don't even think that's her real name.
A Darla?
Yeah.
If I ran into a Darla today, I would be like, whoa, a Darla.
It's like running into a guy that's like 12. He's like, oh, my name's Hank.
I'm
like,
actually pretty sure I went
why
to
is your name
school?
Hank? That's weird.
I went to high school with a girl named Darla, and she did become a model, so I just kind of killed my own argument.
Really?
Darla.
No, they plucked her. Yes, no, like one.
Was she a 6 in high school?
I don't know what she was, but...
Well, what kind of model? Are we talking like
runway,
Vogue or Fred Meyer model?
Talking hand model?
Runway, Vogue,
like Fred Meyer catalog in the Oregonian model. Like
that's still pretty big. You got to be kind of hot to be in that one, too.
You're not wrong. No, we're talking like big, like magazine spreads, like multi, like million dollar model.
You know, I was once a model.
Well, you fumbled the bag there, bud.
Fumbled the bag. She wouldn't get anywhere near me, buddy.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
So she was a 10 even then.
I didn't think so, but I guess she was, according to, I don't know, Versace.
You know, the glow up you can have after high school is really important. That I'd love to see a picture of Joe Fisher in high school and what he looked like.
What later. I wouldn't.
There's huh? 4 years.
Senior year. Your most, I guess, your most mature of your high school journey. You know,
I'd have to go to MySpace to find one of those.
But you're not, you're most mature of your high school journey, but y'all, men go through puberty way later than women do.
No, of course.
Finish until we're like 30.
Of course, but like that setup in high school is, you know, can let a lot of people know where they might be going. For ladies, sometimes you just don't see it coming. They grow up to be like, I can't tell you how many ladies I graduated with in high school. It was like, you were cool, solid 5, solid 6, and then see you again when you're an adult woman. Like, my God, you're a smoke show. Like, well, when did that happen?
Work and surgery exists.
No, man, so I was at my 10-year reunion, and there was a girl that tapped me on the shoulder. And at first I was looking at her like, man, who are you? And then it clicked. I was like, oh my God, like, look at you and everything. And like, sometimes just growed up, grew into her nose, grew into her everything. It's like, yo, you look amazing.
You filled that nose out, girl. Congratulations.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing. And putting surgery and everything's like, yo.
I will say
grew into that massive forehead.
Sometimes it just be like that.
I will say that with, what is it? Age. There does become some beauty. If you look at some of our old YouTube videos on 1080 The Fan's YouTube channel, which we will be live streaming from soon. We don't have the budget for it right now, but in a week or two, I'm sure. That you could see old videos of Isaac and Sook from like 15 years ago.
Oh,
buddy.
Sook wasn't as cool as he is now.
Little baby boy.
Listen, those guys are both past 40 now.
Mm-hmm.
And they look way better now than they did in their
those men have aged like
mid-20s, late 20s, whatever, early 30s. Like, it is
that's
astonishing.
The one cool thing about being a man is, like, as ladies get older, they don't look as good in a lot of cases. And men, that's when we start getting great. And that's when things, you know, we start kind of aging like fine wine at that point. It's kind of crazy.
Okay, right. This whole segment has just gone totally misogynistic.
Well, that's not really.
It's a real thing. That's not making that up.
No, I was saying we all get better as we age. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I know that me at 25, not nearly as good at 31.
Hey, man, I watched The Golden Bachelorette or Golden Bachelor because it's pretty funny. But the guy looking at his old pictures when he was younger is like, oh, okay,
because it's kind of
you're
funny.
Definitely a lot not better looking now that you're older.
Well, that 72 year old's been taking steroids and tan cream for years.
Oh, see
years.
Now who's
wow?
Now who's throwing out all the judgment? See, look at this guy.
Hey, he's an old man trying to look young. We all will.
Let's pay some bills, huh? Vancouver Ford text line. All text to the fan are via the Vancouver Ford text line. Dollar goes further. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. And in fact, we got this text message that just came across a couple minutes ago. Joe, we heard about your reggae adventure with Sook last week. Care to offer any thoughts on the evening? Mm. I was not made aware that had been talked about on air. So I guess I'll have to go back and listen. And then I can maybe share my thoughts on it. But initial thoughts, good time. Good little show. Good little show at the Crystal Ballroom on Wednesday night. So, what is it? Someone said they had to return 2 whole Dungeness crabs to Costco. Felt a bit douchey returning a bag full of crabs, but they refunded it. No questions asked. Yeah. That's Costco for you, man.
Listen, don't feel bad about it. If you know they're going to take it, like, what you mean? Go ahead and do that. If you now you got all these crabs. Like, oh, I don't really need these. I thought I needed more. Here you go.
Listen. If
crab is expensive, number one. So, if I can go get that back.
And listen, nobody wants a batch of crabs that they just don't want, right? If you want to get rid of those crabs, I mean, I don't blame
you. Can.
Okay, you got to do what you got to do. All right, let's talk some sports. Pac-12 stuff. Ducks played yesterday against Wazoo, the last game against Wazoo in God knows how long. There were some other Pac-12 games. Beavs had the week off, but there was definitely plenty of Pac-12 action. We've got other college football matchups that happened throughout the day. A couple big upsets. We got NFL football in the second hour. Who do you love? It's been a couple weeks, so let's catch up, shall we? Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz, Joe Fisher. This is Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. We go with the Oregon Ducks beating Washington State next, right here on 1080 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Knocked up 9 months ago, and what she finna have, she don't know. She want neo soul, cause hip hop is old. She don't want no rock and roll. She want platinum.
All right. So there was a lot of football.
Lots of football.
Yeah, and then a concert on Wednesday night with Souk. Listen, I don't know what he said, so I will not get into it, but like I said, good little show by Iration at Crystal Ballroom. Had a great time, you know. It's always a good time at the Crystal Ballroom. A little hot, but...
A little hot?
That's to be expected.
They could just put some AC in there.
But. And, you know, at a reggae show, there was plenty of good smells going around, you know.
Good. Were they letting people self-medicate inside the concert?
Were they? I don't think they were trying to.
I don't think they can stop people.
As soon as you walked in the door, it's just like, okay.
I don't think they can stop people anymore. I went to Wu-Tang on Tuesday, Wu-Tang and Nas, which was the greatest show I've ever seen, fellas. Got to be honest. And everybody was token everywhere.
Have you seen some of these kids they bring in for security? They're like minimum wage. They're like just there as a body. They
old,
can't
old lady,
do
I wish
anything.
You would say something to me while I was doing anything.
Listen,
you have no chance.
I went to the Tool concert Thursday night, and I think they cared more about cell phones and people recording and taking videos than they did about that.
That's
like,
crazy.
That was so.
That's
wait,
crazy.
Tool and Wu-Tang Clan were both in town the same night?
Wow. Well, same week. Yeah, same I think Wu-Tang was Monday or Tuesday, and then Tool was on Thursday. Yeah,
oh, sorry. So. My bad.
But there was football down in Autzen yesterday. That's what happened. Washington State and Oregon play for what could be the last time in a very long time. God only knows when they'll face each other again. But there was a game yesterday at Autzen, and boy, a little bit weird to start. A little bit of a slog. It was 3-3 after the first quarter, some punts. You know, Oregon's offense, it would get going and then kind of stall out. Washington State's defense, to their credit, was playing great in that first
very
half.
Good.
And I believe... Washington State, I mean, yeah, they drew first blood with their touchdown, 10-3, and then Oregon, thankfully, was able to go right back and match it, 10-10. And, Jordan, you can correct me, before halftime, they were able to put one more on the board to make it 17-10, or I believe it was a field goal.
Yeah,
that
no,
day.
It was late, about 2 minutes to go in the second quarter. There was a touchdown at that point. Finally, Oregon really started to grab the reins.
Right, and then we went to halftime, and then that's where, like, a switch got flipped by the Oregon offense, because at that point they did punt their first drive out of halftime, which does not make you feel good. And that is now, I believe, the second straight
week that out of halftime they haven't done anything with their drive out of the to start the second half. But they were able to then score three straight touchdowns on offensive drives, and things got changed pretty quick. I mean, they went going from 17-13 to being up 38-16 in basically a quarter is what it seemed like. And I mean, my biggest takeaway from this game, obviously the offense has been clicking. This is now their fifth straight game with 500 yards of total offense. So they've put up 500 yards of offense on every Pac-12 opponent so far. And they've done in every game except Texas Tech. Bucky Irving continues to show himself up on a week-to-week basis. Like, we knew how good he was last year. But this year, man, he's been something different. Every week, he is breaking multiple tackles. And then if he's not breaking tackles, he is just leaving dudes jock straps on the grounds behind him with the juke moves he puts on him. Like, he had the one on his touchdown yesterday where the guy, the safety, I believe, essentially was right there to make the tackle in the backfield. He plants his foot in the ground, cuts up field, and completely breaks the guy's ankles.
And he's playing basketball.
And he's gone. And then you're starting to see him make plays in the passing game too. I mean, he is just as valuable to this offense than as Bo Nix is. Now, the running back position is very, you know, if you have guys, you can make it work. I mean, Jordan James yesterday, he was having a great game running the ball when he got his carries. But the way that Bucky Irving has been performing the last few weeks, it's been noticeable, clearly. And he has been just as valuable to this Oregon offense as Bo Nix has been. And it was just extremely impressive to see by him, but also to the offense to flip that switch and have another great game.
I don't know if he's been as valuable as Bo, but I definitely think he has been a huge part of this offense. And just to watch him get better and better and better each game.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
And I think that's the thing. When he started, you know, about 50-some-odd yards like his first game, but every game, even if it's just a few more yards, it's more yards. And now these past two games, you know, he's broken the century mark for both games. Obviously, last week's game didn't go the way that the Ducks and Duck fans would have wanted it
to. But still, he just worked his ass off.
But he was great in that game, and it wasn't because of him. And I think that's the biggest thing. Like, they didn't, you know, sometimes you can be the reason that your team loses, or you can be the reason that your team wins. And I think over the last little bit, he's definitely been one of the reasons that the Ducks and really this offense has been able to be so potent at certain points. I do think Will Stein has his job cut out for him, because again, there have been these slow starts for Oregon. Like, for whatever reason, you know, you start a lot of games like down 3-0, down 7-0, you know, down, you know, you start the Washington State game 10-3, and it's like, which scares a lot of Oregon fans, of course, because especially after coming off of a big loss that could have went your way the week prior. But I think they've got to figure out some way to start fast, you know, in the second half. Like, the one thing you don't want to be doing is trying to play catch up.
Well, and like, even that Stanford game, it ended up, again, they flipped the switch. But even to begin, it was just like, dude, do not let this be a Stanford game, please, yeah, where this is just, we're playing with our food. So I do hear what you're saying on that.
And I got to give a lot of credit to Bo Nix. You look at the maturation of this young dude from the time he was in.
Did you know him and Tez Johnson are brothers?
Oh, that's awesome. They look just like each other.
Did they not say that enough during the broadcast yesterday?
I don't think
brother
I heard it.
Brother to
enough.
Brother.
Yeah, but.
I peed next to the ESPN announcer, by the way.
You peed next to him?
Peed next to him. Yeah,
did you take a look?
Play by play?
Yeah.
No, he was in the stall. He went stall.
Oh, okay.
He went stall to stand up. One of those guys.
Well, sometimes the Autzen Stadium, you get, unless there was like 80 open urinals, then yeah.
Yeah, and do you want to be the guy from ESPN standing next to a bunch of people taking a pee, and they're drunk and stuff? Like, not really.
No, that's, we're up in the press box. We've got our own hermetically sealed box, thank God.
Yeah.
All right, reeled in.
But no, Bo Nix, if you just look at his maturation, you know, over the last few years, he's not that same kid from Auburn, you know, that actually ended up beating Oregon, but still a lot of people had their question marks about who Bo Nix was as a leader and if he were going to be able to be a solid quarterback for this Oregon Ducks team. And every week he just comes out and impresses and, you know, tries to tries to lead his team, and he did yesterday, almost 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. And then also the one on the ground when he was in the red zone. So, man, he's a guy that, you know, I know we kind of, and I'm going to give Jordan a little love on this one, because a few weeks ago, we were like, man, Bo Nix is not as good as Caleb Williams.
I mean,
he's not. I still think.
Was that the wording or just at that point in the season
we were saying, like, I mean, based on stats and everything, and the stats still say that, you know, Caleb Williams is better, per the stats. However, you look at these last couple of games for USC, and they haven't been pretty, and Caleb Williams hasn't looked great in those games. Now, obviously, there's some offensive line issues, some other stuff with USC, some defense issues. Yeah, there's some other issues there. But Bo Nix has looked comparable, and he's looked, you know, as good as, you know, the Shedeur Sanders and the Michael Penix Juniors and all these guys that are considered the best in the country. And Bo Nix is literally right there as part of that conversation. So yeah, I don't want to poo-poo on Bo Nix, but he's definitely doing his job as a starting trigger man.
Well, I appreciate the props. Unfortunately, I don't think he is going to win the Heisman just because Michael Penix showed that
Michael
up last
Penix is
week.
Different.
But as far as the comparability to Caleb Williams really quickly, I mean, Bo Nix hasn't had to run as much. So he hasn't really had to go out and run 40, 50 yards like he did last season. He had that little, you know, 2-yard run into the end zone yesterday, which was, I think, a nice extra look. Bucky Irving, he's going to be an NFL running back, man. He looks like Marshall freaking Faulk out there, catching a touchdown, running for two others. Tez Johnson getting the hookup with Bo yesterday. The offense, pretty much in the second quarter, yeah, 2 minutes to go when Bo Nix in the second put that into the end zone. It looked like they started to take the rest of the game their way. But what was frustrating to that point, you guys talked about the slow start. Anthony Newman and I were both lamenting the entire first quarter about the lack of tackling. It's like every single time they were able to get into the open space, Washington State was.
Or with getting to Cam Ward even, they weren't able to bring him down too much.
Because, no containment on Cam Ward. Exactly. So there was a lot of frustration there. And you even heard Coach Lanning in the post game say, hey, we're still not playing perfect. You know, we got the win. And it did. By the end, I would say it looked a little ugly, and that last touchdown was a garbage time touchdown. Totally hit the over, by the way. So I know there were some Duck fans in that stadium that were rooting for Cam Ward to score that touchdown. But it wasn't a complete game. And yeah, you guys talk about, you know, that start against Stanford, middle of the game against Washington. It seems like each lull during those games has been for a different reason. It's like Stanford, no juice. Washington.
Right after the Colorado game, hard to get up in an environment
exactly.
like that.
And Washington, you know, it's just a tough environment. That's the hardest game that they fought all year. So they're going to be lulls. This time they come out and they're not tackling against a team that they should beat. I mean, look how many yards Cam Ward threw for. So it's nice to see them get the win, but still not quite complete, like Coach Lanning said.
With that being said, where we were here 2 weeks ago, I believe that the case was that Caleb Williams was number one in the Pac-12 passer rating, followed by Penix, followed by Cam Ward, followed by Bo Nix. Well, that is now changed. Bo Nix with the number one passer rating in the Pac-12 at 180.2. Caleb Williams not far behind, though, 179.4. But boy, it's been a rough few weeks for USC and Caleb Williams. We're going to actually get to that here next. But Michael Penix not far behind, 176.8. But yeah, I mean, it was a great win for the Ducks because Washington State has shown what they're capable of this year so far. And the offense, again, it's just clicking. You would just like to see them start clicking earlier than a team. Defense was able to get to Cam Ward, make some tackles. Got a big game against Utah next week. And that's what we're going to talk about next is this Utah team, because they played USC last night in L.A., and it was a close game. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to talk about it on both sides of the ball, with both teams. So we get to that next. But first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update.
Your Sunday home for college football recaps and the NFL. This is Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
NFL football kicking off in about 25 minutes.
National Tight Ends Day? Is that a thing?
I got to get my bets.
I thought it was like earlier this week or something.
Is it? Are they just,
is it today?
I don't know.
It would make sense to put it on a Sunday. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know.
Like, why National Tight Ends Day be like on a Wednesday?
Where's our National Long Snappers Day? Where's our national place kicker?
The unsung heroes.
Where's our national offensive control quality coach day?
Our national get back coach.
Yeah, all right. Hey, listen, those guys save a lot of yards and penalties
absolutely
per year. Okay?
Sean McVay looks like an idiot being pulled by the purse strings of his
sweatshirt.
What an
easy paycheck.
I mean, yeah, but seriously, I mean, if you're a coach and you're doing that stuff, I'm not worried about what line I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be behind 30. Man, oh,
I
no,
just,
bro.
I just hope that a get back coach one day is in the position to be a head coach. And, like, that's where he's. I mean, look, Mike McDaniel, they. All his stories are coming out now of him being a ball boy for the Broncos and
seriously,
stuff like
look
that.
Look at me. I did it. You can do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I want the get back coach.
From ball boy to alcoholic to head coach.
Dude, how great would that be? It's like, you know, there was nobody closer to Sean McVay than the get back guy. So maybe we need to give him an interview.
Seriously.
Nobody knows that guy better. I mean, his hands were all over that
guy. Spelling Coach McVay's sports every week. He got me to this point.
Seriously.
Just want to thank him.
He's right there. He hears all the play calls. One LA team, though, with a head coach that might be in the NFL soon, USC Trojans. See what I did there?
Hey.
We'll get to that, though. USC Utah played last night in Los Angeles, and Utah wins by the final of 34-32. I mean, dear God, I don't even know where to start in this game. I will say that it was a fun game. It was a lot. It was back and forth. USC had some big hitters. Utah was able to keep pace with them, and it ended up being a field goal in the final seconds for Utah to win it. The problem is for USC is the fact that you allowed Utah to score 34 points, which is right on par with this USC defense, and not surprising at all. But we have seen Utah's offense this year multiple times, and we know how atrocious it is. Not only do we know how atrocious it is, we know it's going to be like that for the rest of the year because Cam Rising and Brant Keithy, I believe is the tight end's name, is how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. They're out for the year, both of them. So this is the Utah offense before, during, and in the future. And USC's defense still continues to dribble it down their leg and allow things like this to happen. I mean, there's many plays that you can go to, but just the last play for Utah alone sums up what this defense is like. He literally makes the quarterback, forgive me what his name is for Utah. He scrambles, literally doesn't even make that like breakdown juke move. Just plants one foot and kind of curls around the defense. And then he has 9 USC defenders behind him running after him. He runs like 40 yards up the field to put themselves in field goal position to win the game. This is right after USC has a roughing the passer penalty, like 2-3 plays before this, that puts him in this position. It was just, I cannot believe that we have gotten to this point again. Like, do we see Grinch get fired this week for USC? I feel like Lincoln Riley to the NFL after a game like this is just like, I don't want to go totally overreaction, but you hear all this, you see all the smoke, and then you see a game like this, you're like, what the hell is going on over there? Week after week, USC continues to do this. It amazes me.
You said, you mentioned it, Alex Grinch, the Grinch that stole defense, you know, and USC should be fired. Like, at this point, USC is too good of a team.
And the roast beast.
Offensively. Too good of a team offensively to have a defense that just doesn't show up for them on a consistent basis. Like, this is, we've seen this too often. You know, they almost lost the game. Remember that Colorado game? Like, they won that game, but yeah, it didn't, almost didn't go the way that they wanted it to, you know, in that game. So, I mean, I think there needs to be something that changes. I don't know if they're going to make that change now, but you've already taken yourself out of contention for the playoff.
Yeah, right? I mean, they're
you
done,
lose
they're
two
done.
Games. It's a wrap. So there, you really have nothing to lose by firing your defensive coordinator at this point. So, yeah, I think it's a move that needs to be made right now, but I do want to make sure we give some credit to Utah.
100%.
We have to. Like, they offensively, they had everything you're supposed to have a winning game. Your quarterback, you know, played well, 235 yards, three touchdowns, 79% QBR.
Which has to be their best quarterback performance to date.
All year. I mean, off top. So Bryson Barnes was great in that game.
There it is, Bryson Barnes.
Yeah, Jaquindon Jackson, 26 carries, 117 yards. So they were able to move the ball up the field. And then they had another rusher who had 68 and another rusher who had 57, you know, 247 yards.
Utah hadn't passed for over 200 yards yet this season.
All season. And then here comes the backup's backup, basically, or the backup, and he comes in and gets you a win. And then Sion Vaiki, is that his name? I think I'm saying that right. Sion?
Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah. Five receptions, 149 yards, and two touchdowns through the air. Like, they did everything they were supposed to. And then, add in the fact that Utah's defense is usually pretty solid. And they at least show up from week to week to week. So, got to give a lot of credit to Utah and what they were able to do against a good USC offense. But at the end of the day, you know, everybody that was supposed to play well, played well. And that's why they end up getting the late win over a good Trojans team.
Now, quickly, I must say that I'm not sure that the head coach is really focusing on much about the defense, because this reminds me like the very, very similar just things happening like the Mario Cristobal Oregon situation, where middle of the year, end of the year, lackadaisical games seem like they're happening on the field. You're wondering what's going on behind the scenes, Joe. And I believe that going on is Lincoln Riley is already talking to NFL teams. I'm not sure, you know, he's going to go with Caleb Williams. I'm not sure they're planning that or if he's trying to plan that, but I think he's looking at the next level already. There's definitely going to be an opening in Dallas. There's multiple openings like Chicago. What if he...
I swear to God, at this point, if he ends up in Dallas, I might just give up on football. I'll go on a football sabbatical, go to Malaysia and become a monk for
you're,
like
you're
5 to 10
years. You're talking
about
Caleb Williams?
Oh, no, I was
no,
Lincoln Riley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, man, a new coach brings in new energy, you know, at least for a lot of people. Now, how long that energy lasts is up to, you know, how long you can start keep winning. But for the most part, I think Lincoln Riley, whomever the worst team in the league is going to be, I'm going at Lincoln Riley, because more than likely it means you bring in Caleb Williams as well.
Dear God. Honestly, after the last 2 weeks, the Caleb Williams stuff, too, you know, he started the season off great, but that Notre Dame game was ugly. Last night was a better game, but they were showing his stats. They were showing his numbers against top 25 teams, man, and that's now becoming a trend. Is that, I mean, now this year alone, the last two games, you're 0-3 against Utah now all time. That is a concern. And it will show, like, when you're playing some of these better teams down the stretch, USC and Caleb Williams, like, I saw someone on Twitter the other day say, like, you know, at this point, I think Caleb Williams should probably just shut it down and get ready for the NFL. I'm like, honestly, I think at this point, he needs to play and show that he can still perform in some of these bigger games and environments, because that's what he needs to show to the NFL scouts, is he can obviously make plays, but we saw Baker Mayfield make plays out of the pocket at Oklahoma. And that didn't translate that well to the NFL. So
he went to the Browns, though. Like, you think? I mean, there's certain franchises you're just doomed. Like, if you go there, if you're a young great quarterback,
then
and
he
you
also
go
went
there,
to the Panthers and the Rams.
Trash
as you know, well. Panthers, now he's with the Buccaneers.
Rams were trash. Now the Buccaneers look halfway competent, right?
And we'll see.
You know,
we'll
so
see the rest of the year, but
so we'll see.
Gosh, USC. Keep doing it, though.
I'll be honest, I
do like this.
I'm not mad that USC is losing.
Neither am I.
It's like, I mean, we talk about like the Lakers. It's like, yo, I'm not mad they lost. Like, it's all good for me.
It's watching a train wreck, man.
Yeah, and mind you, a loss for USC takes them out, and now all of a sudden, Oregon State, Washington, like they're the teams. The Northwest teams are the ones that are in the driver's seat all of a sudden.
Well,
Utah.
That's what I want to get to next, is just take a look at the Pac-12 after this week. Take a look at the standings, where everything's at. Because, I mean, speaking of this Utah team, Oregon has them next week in Utah.
This is going to be one. This is going to be it for
that's
one of
a huge teams. Game. This is the time of year rubber meets the road. We're almost at November. This is where things.
God, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Do y'all see the GIF on on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it? Caleb Williams against ranked teams, and it's him changing into Dak Prescott. It is so funny.
I don't appreciate
it. How does that make you feel, Joe?
I don't think that's funny, because that means you don't watch Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys over the last 6 to 7
Sorry,
years
Joe.
That he's been in the
Sorry.
League.
So.
Yo, I think,
hey,
I think that's
we need a break. What the hell is going on? Damn it. All right. We got more Pac-12 football next here. Football Sunday brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. right here. 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe. Brought to you by Grillwork Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Getting your day going with some Mac Morrison. All right.
Mark.
Mark?
Yeah.
Not Mac Morrison?
No.
Well, he had one song, so I mean, sorry that I can't remember him.
It's a great song, though. It's the song.
Dude, you lied to me, okay?
Yeah. He was hurt. He was hurt.
Yeah, you can hear
it. It's all about a glow up. Come back, watch this. Watch this, girl. Return of the Mac. I'm here.
Let's take a look at the rest of the college football and Pac-12 slate from yesterday and take a look at those standings, too. Outside of the Oregon Wazoo, Utah-USC game, there were only two other Pac-12 games. One was not a game at all because it was UCLA beating the brakes off Stanford 42-7. So nothing exciting from that game. The other game that was interesting was the Pac-12 After Dark. And I don't know if you guys stayed awake for this one. I love these games, obviously, for obvious reasons, because of the craziness. But it's almost fun at this point, getting to the age and the point of my life where I'm like trying to stay awake, struggling. Like, I'm battling the TV and sleep just as much as these guys are battling on the football field. Like, they're going to war late at night. I'm going to war late at night against Z's and trying to sleep. Like, it is just a tale of just two wars, Pac-12 After Dark. And that's what happened last night. It was me versus sleep, and then it was Washington versus Arizona State. And I cannot believe that that game was as close as it was. Even when the game in the first quarter, there were people tweeting out like, I'm going to bed. I know Washington's going to win this and end up, you know, clicking. Everything's going to be fine. So, you know, fun while it lasted. It lasted to the very end, okay? And it should have... I don't want to say it should have gone Arizona State's way, but they got absolutely screwed towards the end of the game. They were driving. They were up 7-3 at this point, maybe 7-6. But that's the type of game that it was, Rashad. Washington, Michael Penix Jr. in that offense was held to single-digit points up until the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It was 7-6 after Washington got a field goal. Arizona State drives, gets the ball all the way down to the Washington 12 with about halfway left in the fourth quarter. They got a chance to put some more points up, go up by 8 potentially. I mean, Arizona State, they could do this. Then there is an incomplete pass in the back of the end zone where it looks like pass interference. They pick up the flag. They say no pass interference, and then they show the replay. Oh, my yeah. God. Arizona State's receiver was definitely getting pulled, yanked on by the Washington Huskies cornerback. That was a missed pass interference call. Would have given Arizona State a fresh set of downs. They would have been, I think, right at the 2-yard line at that point, maybe the 5, somewhere in there. Huge missed call. Right after that, what happens? Arizona State's quarterback, the poor guy, throws an 89-yard interception return. He locks in on the out route, throws it to the dude, and the Washington receiver, I believe, or DB, I believe it was, Michelle Powell. He steps in front of it and takes it all the way to the house, and then Washington takes the lead 12-7. It was like the most brutal, like, no, not like this, Arizona State. Not like this, Sun Devils, please. And I tweeted out, they forked themselves last night.
Yeah,
Arizona State.
I like it.
I mean, They were right there, Kenny Dillingham, to get their first conference win in Washington at that too. And
what a huge,
oh my
huge,
God.
Huge win that would have been for your program.
Dude.
What a deflating loss that would have been for Washington. What a triumphant moment that would have been for Oregon fans and for the rest of the Pac-12 fans, especially those that are right up top, the Utahs, Oregon States. Like, that would have been just poetic justice. At its absolute finest if Washington had lost that game. But the football god said not to be, or more so the referees said not to be. What flag on the play? And Michael Penix Jr. gets to keep his Heisman hopes alive. And even his, I mean, I know. But the thing is, he didn't lose the game. And they still have that 0.
Well, he sure as hell didn't win the game.
No, they didn't. But, you know, the team won the game. And so this will just be one of those blips on the radar that people kind of dismiss when they look at his overall resume for the year. But not the, if you're Arizona State, you were right there. And if you're Tempe, you desperately needed this win. I mean, you're 1-6 on the season. You haven't won a conference game yet. Like, you desperately needed this win for just morale.
Yeah, yeah. Text line, Vancouver 4 text line chimes in here. I told people to hammer Arizona State in the points against UW. That had emotional letdown written all over it, along with UW being really banged up and ASU coming off a bye with nothing to lose. I certainly didn't expect it to be that ugly, though, but survive in advance is the name of the game. Yeah, hey. Kudos to you, man. Great bet if you did put that down, because that is looking into some factors that definitely played out last night. I mean, Arizona State was all over Michael Penix Jr. He did not have a touchdown. I believe also it was their first game without an offensive touchdown since like 2004 or something like that. It was a very bizarre game for Washington to get this win.
Yeah, it was... I didn't expect Arizona State to even hang on, but after a huge win that Washington had last week against Oregon, I can imagine it's really hard to get up like that for the following week against a team like Arizona State, one of the bottom feeder of the conference. Well, I can imagine like it's tough to kind of get over that like emotional high and then bring yourself back down to be like, okay.
Ducks didn't have that problem against Stanford, 42-6.
Well, the Ducks had a problem containing Michael Penix, unlike Arizona State. And
that's fair.
Pisses me off.
Maybe they should go get, you know, maybe they should go get Arizona State's defensive coordinator.
You play the comparison game. It's hard. You shouldn't, but it's hard not to in that situation, because how many touchdowns did Oregon let them score? Like 6?
And
how many did Arizona State? 0?
And I think that's the beautiful thing about football, is that it's a week-to-week thing. Like, I mean, we really don't know how teams are going to perform. Like, basketball, we pretty much know that when this team plays this one, like, the Bucks are going...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Your Sunday home for college football recaps and the NFL. This is Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
NFL football kicking off in about 25 minutes.
National Tight Ends Day? Is that a thing?
I got to get my bet.
I thought it was like earlier this week or something.
Is it? Are they just,
if it, is it today?
I don't know.
It would make sense to put it on a Sunday. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know.
Like, why would National Tight Ends Day be like on a Wednesday?
Where's our National Long Snappers Day? Where's our National Place Kicker Day?
The Unsung Heroes.
Where's our National Offensive Control Quality Coach Day?
Our national get back coach.
All right. Hey, listen, those guys save a lot of yards and penalties per year. Okay?
Sean McVay looks like an idiot being pulled by the purse strings of his
sweatshirt. What an easy paycheck.
I mean, yeah, but seriously, I mean, if you're a coach and you're doing that stuff, I'm not worried about what line I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be behind 30. Man, oh,
I just hope that a get back coach one day is in the position to be a head coach. And, like, that's where he's. I mean, look, Mike McDaniel, all his stories are coming out now of him being a ball boy for the Broncos and stuff like
look
that.
Look at me. I did it. You can do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I want the get back coach.
From ball boy to alcoholic to head coach.
Dude, how great would that be? It's like, you know, there was nobody closer to Sean McVay than the get back guy. So maybe we need to give him an interview.
Seriously.
Nobody knows that guy better. I mean, his hands were all over that
guy. Spelling Coach McVay's sports every week. He got me to this point.
Seriously.
Just want to thank him.
He's right there. He hears all the play calls. One LA team, though, with a head coach that might be in the NFL soon, USC Trojans. See what I did there?
Hey.
We'll get to that, though. USC Utah played last night in Los Angeles, and Utah wins by the final of 34-32. I mean, dear God, I don't even know where to start in this game. I will say that it was a fun game. It was a lot. It was back and forth. USC had some big hitters. Utah was able to keep pace with them, and it ended up being a field goal in the final seconds for Utah to win it. The problem is for USC is the fact that you allowed Utah to score 34 points, which is right on par with this USC defense, and not surprising at all. But we have seen Utah's offense this year multiple times, and we know how atrocious it is. Not only do we know how atrocious it is, we know it's going to be like that for the rest of the year because Cam Rising and Brant Keithy, I believe, is the tight end's name, is how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. They're out for the year, both of them. So this is the Utah offense before, during, and in the future. And USC's defense still continues to dribble it down their leg and allow things like this to happen. I mean, there's many plays that you can go to, but just the last play for Utah alone sums up what this defense is like. He literally makes the quarterback, forgive me what his name is for Utah, he scrambles, literally doesn't even make that like breakdown juke move, just plants one foot and kind of curls around the defense. And then he has 9 USC defenders behind him running after him. He runs like 40 yards up the field to put themselves in field goal position to win the game. This is right after USC has a roughing the passer penalty, like 2-3 plays before this, that puts him in this position. It was just, I cannot believe that we have gotten to this point again. Like, do we see Grinch get fired this week for USC? I feel like Lincoln Riley to the NFL after a game like this is just like, I don't want to go totally overreaction, but you hear all this, you see all the smoke, and then you see a game like this, you're like, what the hell is going on over there? Week after week, USC continues to do this. It amazes me.
You said, you mentioned it, Alex Grinch, the Grinch that stole defense, you know, and USC should be fired. Like, at this point, USC is too good of a team.
And the roast beast.
Offensively. Too good of a team offensively to have a defense that just doesn't show up for them on a consistent basis. Like, this is, we've seen this too often. You know, they almost lost the game. Remember that Colorado game? Like, they won that game. But yeah, almost didn't go the way that they wanted it to, you know, in that game. So, I mean, I think there needs to be something that changes. I don't know if they're going to make that change now, but you've already taken yourself out of contention for the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, right?
You lose two games. It's a wrap. So you really have nothing to lose by firing your defensive coordinator at this point. So, yeah, I think it's a move that needs to be made right now. But I do want to make sure we give some credit to Utah.
100%.
We have to. Like, they offensively, they had everything you're supposed to have a winning game. Your quarterback, you know, played well, 235 yards, 3 touchdowns, 79% QBR.
Which has to be their best quarterback performance to date.
All year. I mean, off top. So Bryson Barnes was great in that game.
There it is, Bryson Barnes.
Yeah, Jaquindon Jackson 26 carries, 117 yards on the, so they were able to move the ball up the field. And then they had another rusher who had 68 and another rusher who had 57, you know, 247 yards.
Almost Utah hadn't passed for over 200 yards yet this season.
All season. And then here comes the backup's backup, basically, or the backup, and he comes in and gets you a win. And then Sion Vaiki, was that his name? I think I'm saying that right. Sion.
Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah. 5 receptions, 149 yards, and 2 touchdowns through the air. Like, they did everything they were supposed to. And then, oh, add in the fact that Utah's defense is usually pretty solid, and they at least show up from week to week to week. So, got to give a lot of credit to Utah and what they were able to do against a good USC offense. But at the end of the day, you know, everybody that was supposed to play well played well, and that's why they end up getting the late win over a good Trojans team.
Now, quickly, I must say that I'm not sure that the head coach is really focusing on much about the defense, because this reminds me like the very, very similar, just things happening like the Mario Cristobal Oregon situation, where middle of the year, end of the year, lackadaisical games seem like they're happening on the field. You're wondering what's going on behind the scenes, Joe. And I believe that going on is Lincoln Riley is already talking to NFL teams. I'm not sure, you know, he's going to go with Caleb Williams. I'm not sure they're planning that or if he's trying to plan that, but I think he's looking at the next level already. There's definitely going to be an opening in Dallas. There's multiple openings, like Chicago. What if he...
I swear to God, at this point, if he ends up in Dallas, I might just give up on football. I'll go on a football sabbatical, go to Malaysia and become a monk for like 5 to 10 years.
You're talking about Caleb Williams?
Oh, no, I was Lincoln Riley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, man, a new coach brings in new energy, you know, at least for a lot of people. Now, how long that energy lasts is up to, you know, how long you can start keep winning. But for the most part, I think Lincoln Riley, whomever the worst team in the league is going to be, I'm going at Lincoln Riley, because more than likely it means you bring in Caleb Williams as well.
Dear God. Honestly, after the last 2 weeks, the Caleb Williams stuff too, you know, he started the season off great, but that Notre Dame game was ugly. Last night was a better game, but they were showing his stats. They were showing his numbers against top 25 teams, man. And that's now becoming a trend, is that, I mean, now this year alone, the last two games, you're 0-3 against Utah now all time. That is a concern. And it will show, like, when you're playing some of these better teams down the stretch, USC and Caleb Williams, like, I saw someone on Twitter the other day say, like, you know, at this point, I think Caleb Williams should probably just shut it down and get ready for the NFL. I'm like, honestly, I think at this point, he needs to play and show that he can still perform in some of these bigger games and environments, because that's what he needs to show to the NFL scouts, is he can obviously make plays, but we saw Baker Mayfield make plays out of the pocket at Oklahoma, and that didn't translate that well to the NFL. So
he went to the Browns, though. Like, you think? I mean, there's certain franchises you're just doomed. Like, if you go there, if you're a young great quarterback,
then he also went
there,
to the Panthers and the Rams.
Trash
as know, well. Panthers, now he's with the Buccaneers.
Rams were trash. Now the Buccaneers look halfway competent, right?
And we'll see.
You know,
we'll
so
see the rest of the year, but
so we'll see.
Gosh, USC. Keep doing it, though.
I'll be honest.
I do like this.
I'm not mad that USC is losing.
Neither am I.
It's we talk about, like, the Lakers. It's like, yo, I'm not mad they lost. Like, it's all good for me.
It's watching a train wreck, man.
Yeah, and mind you, a loss for USC takes them out, and now all of a sudden, Oregon State, Washington, like, they're the teams. The Northwest teams are the ones that are in the driver's seat all of a sudden.
Well,
Utah.
That's what I want to get to next, is just take a look at the Pac-12 after this week. Take a look at the standings, where everything's at. Because, I mean, speaking of this Utah team, Oregon has them next week in Utah.
This is going to be one of, this is going to be it for
Oregon.
That's
a huge game. This is the time of year. Rubber meets the road. We're almost at November. This is where things...
God, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Do y'all see the GIF on on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Caleb Williams against ranked teams, and it's him changing into Dak Prescott? It is so funny.
I don't appreciate it.
How does that make you feel, Joe?
I don't think that's funny, because that means you don't watch Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys over the last 6 to 7
Sorry,
years
Joe.
That he's been in the
Sorry.
League.
Sorry.
Yo, I think
hey,
that's
we need a break. What the hell is going on? Damn it. All right. We've got more Pac-12 football next here. Football Sunday brought to you by Grillwork Supply Co. right here. 10 to the fan.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe, brought to you by Grillwork Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Getting your day going with some Mac Morrison. All right.
Mark.
Mark?
Yeah.
It's not Mac Morrison?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, he had one song, so be. I mean, sorry that I can't remember him.
It's a great song, though. It's the song.
Dude, you lied to me, okay?
Yeah. He was hurt. He was hurt.
Yeah, you can hear
it. It's all about a glow up. Come back, watch this. Watch this, girl. Return of the Mac. I'm here.
Let's take a look at the rest of the college football and Pac-12 slate from yesterday and take a look at those standings, too. Outside of the Oregon-Wazoo, Utah-USC game, there were only two other Pac-12 games. One was not a game at all because it was UCLA beating the brakes off Stanford 42-7. So nothing exciting from that game. The other game that was interesting was the Pac-12 After Dark. And I don't know if you guys stayed awake for this one. I love these games, obviously, for obvious reasons, because of the craziness. But it's almost fun at this point, getting to the age and the point of my life where I'm like trying to stay awake, struggling. Like, I'm battling the TV and sleep just as much as these guys are battling on the football field. Like, they're going to war late at night. I'm going to war late at night against Z's and trying to sleep. Like, it is just a tale of just two wars, Pac-12 After Dark. And that's what happened last night. It was me versus sleep, and then it was Washington versus Arizona State. And I cannot believe that that game was as close as it was. Even when the game in the first quarter, there were people tweeting out like, I'm going to bed. I know Washington's going to win this and end up, you know, clicking. Everything's going to be fine. So, you know, fun while it lasted. It lasted to the very end, okay? And it should have... I don't want to say it should have gone Arizona State's way, but they got absolutely screwed towards the end of the game. They were driving. They were up 7-3 at this point, maybe 7-6. But that's the type of game that it was, Rashad. Washington, Michael Penix Jr. in that offense was held to single-digit points up until the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It was 7-6 after Washington got a field goal. Arizona State drives, gets the ball all the way down to the Washington 12 with about halfway left in the fourth quarter. They got a chance to put some more points up, go up by 8 potentially. I mean, Arizona State, they could do this. Then there is an incomplete pass in the back of the end zone where it looks like pass interference. They pick up the flag. They say no pass interference, and then they show the replay. Oh, my yeah. God. Arizona State's receiver was definitely getting pulled, yanked on by the Washington Huskies cornerback. That was a missed pass interference call. Would have given Arizona State a fresh set of downs. They would have been, I think, right at the 2-yard line at that point, maybe the 5, somewhere in there. Huge missed call. Right after that, what happens? Arizona State's quarterback, the poor guy, throws an 89-yard interception return. He locks in on the out route, throws it to the dude, and the Washington receiver, I believe, DB, I believe it was, Michelle Powell. He steps in front of it and takes it all the way to the house, and then Washington takes the lead 12-7. It was like the most brutal, like, no, not like this, Arizona State. Not like this, Sun Devils, please. And I tweeted out, they forked themselves last night.
Yeah,
Arizona State.
I like it.
I mean, They were right there, Kenny Dillingham, to get their first conference win in Washington at that too.
And what a huge,
oh my
huge,
God.
Huge win that would have been for your program.
Dude.
What a deflating loss that would have been for Washington. What a triumphant moment that would have been for Oregon fans and for the rest of the Pac-12 fans, especially those that are right up top, the Utahs, Oregon States. Like, that would have been just poetic justice. At its absolute finest, if Washington had lost that game, but the football gods said not to be, or more so the referees said not to be. What flag on the play? And Michael Penix Jr. gets to keep his Heisman hopes alive, and even his. I mean, I know, but the thing is, he didn't lose the game, and they still have that zero.
Well, they sure as hell didn't win the game.
No, they didn't. But you know, the team won the game, and so this will just be one of those blips on the radar that people kind of dismiss when they look at his overall resume for the year. But if you're Arizona State, you were right there. And if you're Tempe, you desperately needed this win. You, I mean, you're 1-6 on the season. You haven't won a conference game yet. like you desperately needed this win for just morale.
Yeah, yeah. Text line, Vancouver 4 text line chimes in here. I told people to hammer Arizona State in the points against UW. That had emotional letdown written all over it, along with UW being really banged up and ASU coming off a bye with nothing to lose. I certainly didn't expect it to be that ugly, though, but survive in advance is the name of the game. Yeah, hey. Kudos to you, man. Great bet if you did put that down, because that is looking into some factors that definitely played out last night. I mean, Arizona State was all over Michael Penix Jr. He did not have a touchdown. I believe also it was their first game without an offensive touchdown since like 2004 or something like that. It was a very bizarre game for Washington to get this win.
Yeah, I didn't expect Arizona State to even hang on, but after a huge win that Washington had last week against Oregon, I can imagine it's really hard to get up like that for the following week against a team like Arizona State, one of the bottom feeder of the conference. Well, I can imagine like it's tough to kind of get over that like emotional high and then bring yourself back down to be like, okay.
Ducks didn't have that problem against Stanford. 42-6.
Well, the Ducks had a problem containing Michael Penix, unlike Arizona State. And yeah, that's kind of where
that's fair.
Pisses me off.
Maybe
so
they should
much.
Go get, you know, maybe they should go get Arizona State's defensive coordinator.
You play the comparison game. It's hard. You shouldn't, but it's hard not to in that situation, because how many touchdowns did Oregon let them score? Like six?
And
many did Arizona State? Zero.
And I think that's the beautiful thing about football, is that it's a week-to-week thing. Like, I mean, we really don't know how teams are going to perform. Like, basketball, we pretty much know that when this team plays this one, like, the Bucks are going to kill the Bobcats or the Hornets. We know that off top. Like, I mean, but in football, it's like, it's the term any given Sunday or any given Saturday, you know, at this point. It's a real thing. Like, we don't really know how teams are going to perform, if they're going to play down to competition or up to it. And football is the one sport that, man, somebody can actually come and get punched in the mouth and not expect it.
Well, Washington is vulnerable. We've seen that now.
We know it now.
Yeah, with both Arizona schools. I mean, I know that the game against Arizona was a little bit different and kind of got a garbage time touchdown, but it was a very play with your food kind of game there. Arizona State here at the end had a chance to pull it off and quite frankly kind of got screwed by the refs. That's one thing I won't miss going forward is Pac-12 refs, man. Good rinse on there. And if we look at the standings, though, as they currently are for the Pac-12, of course, unfortunately, Washington is up there at the top, undefeated. And now you have a somewhat four-way tie. Obviously, tiebreakers come into play, but you got a 3-1 Utah team, a 3-1 Oregon team, a 3-1 Oregon State team, and a 4-1 USC by conference records. Oregon State right now has the tiebreaker over Utah. Utah has the tiebreaker over USC, and Oregon has yet to play any of those three teams. But again, rubber meets the road here in due time. We got Utah next week, Cal after that for Oregon. I believe the USC game after that, and then Arizona State, and then Oregon State. Man, still a lot of football left to be played.
Yeah, we're only halfway point of the season. A little more than halfway.
Yes, sir.
Still got a lot of good football to be played, and so this can all be played out. We'll see who's going to be the Pac-12 champion. My money's on Oregon State. Just saying.
Stop.
We got to give DJU more credit.
They didn't play this week.
No, they didn't. I'm saying they played last week and they won.
Can't give them credit. Didn't play this
week.
No,
they do, because you know what? We talk a lot
They were 1-0 in the bye week.
We talk a lot about what DJU can't do or hasn't been able to do as far as moving the ball, and yet and still he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the Pac-12. Or I want to say in the country. Is it Pac-12?
Well, they did show a graphic during the Ducks game yesterday of the Pac-12 quarterbacks, and he, I think, is like fifth or sixth in the country as far as total touchdowns go.
That's impressive, because, again, we talk about how inept the offense can be and how they're not able to move the ball through the air, and then turn around, and DJU is right where most quarterbacks hope they would be, within the top five, the top ten in the country.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Yes, yes. Lots of football left to be played. And lots of football to be watched as I just turn over to NFL Red Zone. I hope you do the same, but keep it right here for hour number two as we start talking some NFL. I want to go Seattle Seahawks next, because That team is super weird, and I don't know what the hell to expect from them week to week. Let's do that next. We got plenty of NFL. Who do you love in the second hour? But it is Football Sunday, brought to you by Grillwork Supply Co. right here, 1080 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe. Brought to you by Grillwork Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Getting your day going with some Mac Morrison. All right.
Mark.
Mark?
Yeah.
It's not Mac Morrison?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, he had one song, so I mean, sorry that I can't remember him.
It's a great song, though. It's the song.
Dude, you lied to me, okay?
Yeah. He was hurt. He was hurt.
Yeah, you can hear
it. It's all about a glow up. Come back, watch this. Watch this, girl. Return of the Mac. I'm here.
Let's take a look at the rest of the college football and Pac-12 slate from yesterday and take a look at those standings, too. Outside of the Oregon Wazoo, Utah-USC game, there were only two other Pac-12 games. One was not a game at all because it was UCLA beating the brakes off Stanford 42-7. So nothing exciting from that game. The other game that was interesting was the Pac-12 After Dark. And I don't know if you guys stayed awake for this one. I love these games, obviously, for obvious reasons, because of the craziness. But it's almost fun at this point, getting to the age and the point of my life where I'm, like, trying to stay awake, struggling. Like, I'm battling the TV and sleep just as much as these guys are battling on the football field. Like, they're going to war late at night. I'm going to war late at night against Z's and trying to sleep. Like, it is just a tale of just two wars, Pac-12 After Dark. And that's what happened last night. It was me versus sleep, and then it was Washington versus Arizona State. And I cannot believe that game was as close as it was. Even when the game in the first quarter, there were people tweeting out like, I'm going to bed. I know Washington's going to win this and end up, you know, clicking and everything's going to be fine. So, you know, fun while it lasted. It lasted to the very end, okay? And it should have... I don't want to say it should have gone Arizona State's way, but they got absolutely screwed towards the end of the game. They were driving. They were up 7-3 at this point, maybe 7-6. But that's the type of game that it was, Rashad. Washington, Michael Penix Jr. and that offense was held to single-digit points up until the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It was 7-6 after Washington got a field goal. Arizona State drives, gets the ball all the way down to the Washington 12 with about halfway left in the fourth quarter. They got a chance to put some more points up, go up by 8 potentially. I mean, Arizona State, they could do this. Then there is an incomplete pass in the back of the end zone where it looks like pass interference. They pick up the flag. They say no pass interference, and then they show the replay. Oh, my yeah. God. Arizona State's receiver was definitely getting pulled, yanked on by the Washington Huskies cornerback. That was a missed pass interference call. Would have given Arizona State fresh set of downs. They would have been, I think, right at the 2-yard line at that point, maybe the 5, somewhere in there. Huge missed call. Right after that, what happens? Arizona State's quarterback, the poor guy, throws an 89-yard interception return. He locks in on the out route, throws it to the dude, and the Washington receiver, I believe, or DB, I believe it was, Michelle Powell. He steps in front of it and takes it all the way to the house, and then Washington takes the lead 12-7. It was like the most brutal, like, no, not like this, Arizona State. Not like this, Sun Devils, please. And I tweeted out, they forked themselves last night.
Yeah,
Arizona State.
I like it.
I mean, they were right there, Kenny Dillingham, to get their first conference win in Washington at that, too.
And what a huge,
oh my
huge,
God.
Huge win that would have been for your program.
Dude.
What a deflating loss that would have been for Washington. What a triumphant moment that would have been for Oregon fans and for the rest of the Pac-12 fans, especially those that are right up top, the Utahs, Oregon States. Like, that would have been just poetic justice at its absolute finest if Washington had lost that game. But the football gods said not to be, or more so the referees said not to be. What flag on the play? And Michael Penix Jr. gets to keep his Heisman hopes alive. And even his, I mean, I know. But the thing is, he didn't lose the game. And they still have that 0.
Well, they sure as hell didn't win the game.
No, they didn't. But, you know, the team won the game. And so this will just be one of those blips on the radar that people kind of dismiss when they look at his overall resume for the year. But if you're Arizona State, you were right there. And if you're Tempe, you desperately needed this win. I mean, you're 1-6 on the season. You haven't won a conference game yet. Like, you desperately needed this win for just morale.
Yeah, yeah. Text line, Vancouver 4 text line chimes in here. I told people to hammer Arizona State in the points against UW. That had emotional letdown written all over it, along with UW being really banged up and ASU coming off a bye with nothing to lose. I certainly didn't expect it to be that ugly, though, but survive in advance is the name of the game. Yeah, hey, kudos to you, man. Great bet if you did put that down, because that is looking into some factors that definitely played out last night. I mean, Arizona State was all over Michael Penix Jr. He did not have a touchdown. I believe also it was their first game without an offensive touchdown since like 2004 or something like that. It was a very bizarre game for Washington to get this win.
Yeah, I didn't expect Arizona State to even hang on, but after a huge win that Washington had last week against Oregon, I can imagine it's really hard to get up like that for the following week against a team like Arizona State, one of the bottom feeder of the conference. Well, I can imagine, like, it's tough to kind of get over that, like, emotional high and then bring yourself back down to be like, okay.
Ducks didn't have that problem against Stanford, 42-6.
Well, the Ducks had a problem containing Michael Penix, unlike Arizona State. And
that's fair.
Pisses me off.
Maybe they should
go
get, you know, maybe they should go get Arizona State's defensive coordinator.
You play the comparison game. It's hard. You shouldn't, but it's hard not to in that situation, because how many touchdowns did Oregon let them score? Like 6?
And
how many did Arizona State? 0?
I think that's the beautiful thing about football is that it's a week-to-week thing. Like, I mean, we really don't know how teams are going to perform. Like, basketball, we pretty much know that when this team plays this one, like, the Bucks are going to kill the Bobcats or the Hornets. We know that off top. Like, I mean, but in football, it's like, it's the term any given Sunday or any given Saturday, you know, at this point. It's a real thing. Like, we don't really know how teams are going to perform, if they're going to play down to competition or up to it. And football is the one sport that, man, somebody can actually come and get punched in the mouth and not expect it.
Well, Washington is vulnerable. We've seen that now.
We know it now.
Yeah, with both Arizona schools. I mean, I know that the game against Arizona was a little bit different and kind of got a garbage time touchdown, but it was a very play with your food kind of game there. Arizona State here at the end had a chance to pull it off and quite frankly kind of got screwed by the refs. That's one thing I won't miss going forward is Pac-12 refs, man. Good rinse on there. And if we look at the standings, though, as they currently are for the Pac-12, of course, unfortunately, Washington is up there at the top, undefeated. And now you have a somewhat four-way tie. Obviously, tiebreakers come into play, but you got a 3-1 Utah team, a 3-1 Oregon team, a 3-1 Oregon State team, and a 4-1 USC by conference records. Oregon State right now has the tiebreaker over Utah. Utah has the tiebreaker over USC, and Oregon has yet to play any of those three teams. But again, rubber meets the road here in due time. We got Utah next week, Cal after that for Oregon. I believe the USC game after that, and then Arizona State, and then Oregon State. Man, still a lot of football left to be played.
Yeah, we're only halfway point of the season. Days. A little more than halfway.
Yes, sir.
Still got a lot of good football to be played, and so this can all be played out. We'll see who's going to be the Pac-12 champion. My money's on Oregon State. Just saying.
Stop.
We got to give DJU more credit.
They didn't play this week.
No, they didn't. I'm saying they played last week and they won.
Can't give them credit. Didn't play this
week. No, they do, because you know what? We talk a lot about what
they were 1-0 in the bye week.
We talk a lot about what DJU can't do or hasn't been able to do as far as moving the ball, and yet and still he's one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the Pac-12. Or I want to say in the country. Is it Pac-12?
Well, they did show a graphic during the Ducks game yesterday of the Pac-12 quarterbacks, and he, I think, is like 5th or 6th in the country as far as total touchdowns go.
That's impressive. Because, again, we talk about how inept the offense can be and how they're not able to move the ball through the air. And then turn around, and DJU is right where most quarterbacks hope they would be, within the top 5, the top 10 in the country.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Yes, yes. Lots of football left to be played. And lots of football to be watched as I just turn over to NFL Red Zone. I hope you do the same, but keep it right here for hour number two as we start talking some NFL. I want to go Seattle Seahawks next because that team is super weird, and I don't know what the hell to expect from them week to week. Let's do that next. We got plenty of NFL. Who do you love in the second hour? But it is Football Sunday brought to you by Grillworks Supply Co. right here, 1080 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.